You take your Bibles, please, and turn me to Matthew chapter 20. On Sunday, during Sunday school, we introduced the next phase of our series that we're doing on the normal, natural life of the believer. Some people think that prayer and service are only done by exceptional Christians. The rest of us have a free pass to do whatever we want to do. That is not the case at all. That is a cultural concept. It's not rooted in the Bible at all. I had a conversation with the gentleman that spoke at the beginning of our school year who does evangelistic work, and he is pastoring a church, and he had one of his deacons came up to him and says, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." And he said, "Pastor, you're not doing things the way we've always done it here at this church." And he said, "Well, what am I doing wrong? Am I doing something wrong biblically?" He said, "Well, I don't know if it's biblical or not, but it's just the way we've always done it, and you're not doing it that way." And he said, "Well, show me if I'm doing something that's unbiblical, because I don't want to do anything that's unbiblical." And he said, "Well, we do things a certain way, this way," and began to go down that list. And he said, "Well, so far, you haven't told me what I'm doing wrong." He said, "I'm just trying to preach God's Word, and we sing hymns, and we do everything that I know that we're supposed to do." And he said, "Well, Pastor," he just shouted out, "Pastor, you just have to understand, not everything has to be done according to the Bible." And he said, "Well, we've got a serious problem then. We've got a serious problem then, because that's what church is all about. It's doing it according to what the Bible says." You know, my prayer for you and my prayer for the children of this church and the teenagers of this church and the college students and the young people of this church is that we would all come under the dominating power of God's authority and let it flush out all of the self-reliance, all the self-determination, all the self-admiration, all the self-achievement, all the self-reliance. Flush it all out and focus our hearts and lives on Jesus Christ. Do you realize that that's what we need? You know, my air conditioning system backed up on us not too long ago, and so I had to get some bleach and pour it down the little tube that's right there by your air conditioner that flushes out the piping. And I poured bleach down there, and I ran outside, and I watched the biggest globs of gook come out of that pipe, and everything started draining like it was supposed to. And I'm supposed to do that once a month. I don't always remember. But when it starts backing up and starts trickling out, I know that I've got to get that done. Have to flush out all the gunk so that the system works right. Well, guess what, Christian? We got to do the same thing. We have all kinds of ideas and opinions and concepts that just don't match up with this book. Now, let's face it. We'll run after some conservative. "I agree with everything so-and-so." Really? Do you believe everything that they believe? They believe some people back years ago, boy, they jumped on the Rush Limbaugh wagon, and everything he said was the gospel. But here's a man that is so self-centered. Here's a man that loves rock and roll and had a rock and roll icon at his third wedding. And we're setting him up here as an idol. Now, you may agree with some of his conservative opinions, but don't just swallow everything a person says because they say they're a conservative. We got to have better discernment. We got to have the world flushed out of us on a daily basis, Christian. That's why the Lord washed the disciples' feet to show them, "Ye have need of cleansing." Nobody lives above God. Nobody lives above His Son. But somehow we exalt ourselves to this place where my opinions are almost equal or equal to God's Word. Wrong. That is hellish. To put my opinions and my ideas equal to God's Word and somehow think, well, they are almost just like God's Word because they came from me. That is satanic. That's what Satan is going to work during the time whenever Antichrist comes. He's going to make everybody feel empowered. Don't you understand? That's what evolution is all about. It's the concept of self-empowerment. I am moving toward Godhood. That's the motivation behind evolutionary teaching and thinking and humanism, secular or otherwise. It's moving man toward Godhood. And the Bible says we need to flush all that stuff out. This matter of service, folks, is not what we dictate it to be. It's what God dictates it. It's servant and who's over the servant? Master. The master tells the servant what to do, not the other way around. We don't tell God what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. That just doesn't work. It doesn't work in heaven, and we're supposed to be praying that God's will be done on earth even as it is in heaven, and yet we tell God so many times what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. You're not letting God's Word flush out all the you and replace it with Jesus Christ, His Son. So this perspective, the normal, natural life of the believer, proper perspective of service, and I get that from God's Word. Quickly, is your kind of Christianity worth sending to the non-Christian world? Now, I mentioned this on Sunday, and this is an important question. Is the way I live my life worth sending around the world to tell others about? I think we know the answer to that. It's supposed to be what's in this book, right? But oftentimes it's not. It's a homemade brew. All right? Now that's great if you want to make homemade ice cream and you've got a special family recipe on how to make spaghetti. That's great. But when it comes to the Christian life, you don't have that leeway to mix up your own brew and offer it up to God. That's what the Israelites did whenever Moses was on the mountain. They made their homemade brew of religion. And what did God say? He made them melt it all back down, made them drink it. You want it so bad, why don't you go ahead and drink it? God was not pleased with that, and He's not pleased tonight with that. We've got to have God's perspective. I didn't ask you if Christianity was worth sending around. We know the answer to that. I asked, is your brand of Christianity worth sending around the world? That starts us to think. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Think biblically? We looked last time at the role, response, and result from Matthew 20. The two words used for servant in verses 27 and 28. Diakonos, servant, attendant, one that comes alongside to help. All right? And then the last word, doulos, slave. Ooh, we don't like that word. We don't like that word, but that's the word that God chose to use to describe the believer in Matthew chapter 20. Our response is, let him do this. Verse 26, let him, even as the Son, verse 28. Jesus Christ is the example. We looked at the result. Two things, humility and helpfulness. That's the result of my understanding of what it means to be a servant. I am going to be humble, and that's going to put me in a place where I can be helpful. And that's what we want to be as Christians. In this whole thing, we notice the use of the word lutron. The ransom paid for many. Lutron was a word to describe the payment to release a slave. And that's the picture that's given to us here. Jesus Christ released us from our slavery to sin and our bondage to iniquity, and He made us slaves of Himself. You think that's a better exchange? I certainly do. That's a glorious exchange. Bring on the claims of God on my life. I'm delivered from Satan. I'm delivered from hell in eternal damnation because the lutron, the ransom has been paid. I've been delivered from the slave block of sin. Let's move on. There are four times that Jesus sent out groups of His followers to serve Him. The first time was in the middle of the second year of Jesus' public life. He called and commissioned His 12 disciples. We looked at the different passages of Scripture. That was the first time He called them to serve at Galilee. Second time, 6 months before his crucifixion, Jesus chose 72 men and sent them out. And he said, take neither with you scrip or purse. I'm going to take care of everything. Everything's going to be provided. You just go. Next of all, the third time, on the Monday evening after the resurrection, Jesus commissioned 10 of the initial 12 disciples. And the Bible says in John chapter 20 that he breathed on them the Holy Spirit so they could serve. He had a special task for them. Judas was dead. Thomas was absent at this particular commissioning, but 10 of them had the Holy Spirit of God breathed upon them. And then finally, 6 weeks later, while on the Mount of Olives, the 11 disciples were commissioned by the Holy Spirit empowered service to their Lord in His absence. We are told that in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, that the Holy Spirit came upon them and stayed in them. In the absence of Jesus Christ, they would go to conduct themselves. In all four instances, there's something interesting. Two things appear that are common in all four of these commissions. In the first place, we have the simple command to go in all four commissionings. Go ye! That sounds like a command, doesn't it? Isn't that what a master says to a servant? Go ye! Oh, wait a minute, Lord. I'm not into that. Well, guess how heaven operates? It operates according to the command of God and the authority of God. God can't have it any other way. So if you rebel against His commands, you are a rebel. Okay? Rebel against His commands, you're a rebel. You're not doing what He said to do. And in all four of these commissions, go ye is given. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Go ye, and the second common thing is this. In each of the four commissions, this simple recognition is noticed. Because of who their master was, they had everything that they need to go. They were qualified and they were empowered to do whatever God said for them to do. They were given the qualifications and they were given the power to do what God said to do. Some people struggle with the simple concept of repentance. God can't save me, I'm too wicked. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Whatever God says for you to do, He gives you the power to do it. Don't ever forget that. If He says repent and believe the gospel, can you do that? Absolutely you can do that. So, well, that's a work. No, it's not. If God said to do it, it's not a work. You're simply doing what He said to do. And some people struggle with these things. God said, go, and in the going, you have all you need. And this is what is so beautiful. In John chapter 20, we find that commissioning taking place, that final commissioning there. And we see two things. He said to His disciples, peace. You go back to John chapter 14, I believe it is. It says, let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, peace. He promises peace for you. Peace comes as we go, not as we sit and dither. You ever seen that problem with some folks? Sit and dither. I'm waiting for the peace. I'm waiting for the power to come upon me. God said, go. Get with it. Get on the move. Well, I don't know what to do. Well, get at what He's told you to do. What has He told you to do? He said, carry my gospel. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, then He's not going to share with you anything else. You're to go. The master tells the servant to go. And in the going, He gives two things, power and peace. People that have no peace and no power are people that are sitting and dithering. They're not going. They're not doing what God said to do. Because in the going, there's the power and the peace. There's a lot of people don't agree with that. They think that they've got to be overwhelmed by something, a feeling that comes over them. The other day, and I'll close with this, big storm coming in Saturday. And I was up here at the school, and Jonathan called me and said, "Hey, Dad, you want me to pick you up? It looks like the storm's coming." I said, "Sure, I'll be glad." I'm thinking he's coming in the truck. He shows up out here with a four-wheeler. And I said, what are you doing? It's fixing the rain. "Hop on, Dad, I'll get you home." I said, "I got to stop at the bathhouse." He said, "Well, let's go." So I hopped on the back. We're zooming across campus. And I make it over there to the bathhouse. It starts pouring down rain. And all of a sudden, as I'm coming out of the building, boom! Lightning strike, thunder at the same time. Now, it was very close. And I'm watching people on the soccer field just running, scattering to their cars. All right? Now, what happened at that moment? All right? It wasn't a moment to sit and dither. "Well, I wonder if I should go now. I wonder if we should, maybe we can get in another 30 minutes of practice." No, it was, run to your car. Isn't it interesting? That power came over them and they went. That's what God has to do sometimes. He has to send an old lightning bolt from heaven and say, "Get with it. You're my servant. You're not serving. Get with it." What does God have to do? What does He have to do to get you moving for Him? Does He have to just pull you and take you on to glory? Does He have to bring things into your life that bring you to the place of, "You know what, I need to get busy for Him. I'm spending all my time thinking about myself. Thinking about what I'm going to do. Thinking about where I'm going to go. And how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to do that." Wait a minute. You need the dominance of an Almighty God's authority to come over you and flush you of yourself. All that self-admiration and self-dependence and self determination and self-reliance, have it all flushed out of you and say, "All right, Lord, You empower me, You fill me to do what You want me to do." That's a master-servant relationship. Who's our master? God is. Who's the servant? We are. We are. Well, God says that we're His friends. Well, that's what it says in John. Book of John says that we are His friends. But as far as I know, it still says He's the master. And I'm not the master. That makes me what? Okay? That makes me a servant friend. Get it? We need to let God's Word saturate every part of our being. And if you have a problem with that, you're a rebel. You're a rebel. You're not doing. You're running from God. And you, instead of running from God, you need to be running to God. Do I hear an amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to understand Your Word. Lord, we have so many ideas and opinions today. And somehow they just rise and become equal to and sometimes over and above what Your Word simply says. Lord, may we be flushed of all the nonsense and the opinions that we come up with. And Lord, may we let Your Word simply stand in our lives as the authority. Help us to put aside all these other things, and may we truly be Your servant. And when the call comes down, "Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth. I will go. I will do whatever You want me to do." Lord, I pray that You'd work in such a way as to stir hearts for Your service. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.